Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to the Ganesh Housing Limited Q4 FY 2026 earnings conference call hosted by Go India Advisors. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during this conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star then zero on your touch-tone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Rajat Gupta from Go India Advisors. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Yes. Thank you, Larry. Good afternoon, everyone, and welcome to Ganesh Housing Limited earnings call to discuss the Q4 and FY 2026 results. We have on the call with us today Mr. Rajendra Shah, Chief Financial Officer, Mr. Neeraj Kalavadia, Vice President, Finance, and Mr. B. Ravi, Corporate and Financial Advisor. We must remind you that the discussion on today's call may include certain forward-looking statements and must be therefore viewed in conjunction with the risk that the company faces. I now request Mr. B. Ravi to take us through the company's business outlook and financial highlights, subsequent to which we'll open the floor for Q&A. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Thank you, Rajat. Good afternoon, everyone, and a very warm welcome to all of you to Ganesh Housing Limited's Q4 and FY 2026 earnings conference call. Thank you for joining us today and for your continued trust and engagement with the company over the years. At the outset, as you all know, FY 2026 had been a little problematic year with the West Asia crisis and the economic and geopolitical challenges, which has been reflected in our numbers also when compared to FY 2025. Due to this uncertainty, the cost of input materials and many other things have gone up, as you all know. We shall see the impact of this in the coming times. FY 2026, however, has been a very important transition year for Ganesh Housing. The reported financial performance moderated as compared to FY 2025, but you know that FY 2025 was an exceptionally strong year. However, operationally and strategically, this has been one of the most significant years in the company's journey, that is FY 2026. Over the last 12 months, we have moved from primarily being a land-rich real estate developer to building the foundation of a much larger integrated development platform across commercial, residential, township, and annuity-led businesses. The progress achieved across Million Minds Tech City and Malabar Retreat, coupled with planned 191 Saltage and Million Minds Phase II, gives us increasing confidence about the next phase of growth for the company. Before I discuss the quarter and the project's updates, I would like to briefly touch upon the broader Ahmedabad and Gujarat growth story, which continues to remain extremely encouraging. According to several industry reports, Ahmedabad remains among India's most affordable major housing markets, with their EMI to income ratios significantly lower than most metro cities. Over the last five months, the real estate market in Ahmedabad and wider Gujarat has seen a strong mix of infrastructure-led growth, premium housing demand, institutional interest, and some emerging cost pressures, of course. The biggest driver continues to be the combined impact of GIFT City, metro expansion, and large-scale urban development. Here are the key developments shaping the markets. The recent momentum around Global Capability Centers, GCC in short, technology parks, and service sector investments in Gujarat is particularly noteworthy. Over the past few months, we have seen increasing policy support and institutional interest towards positioning Ahmedabad as an emerging technology and innovation hub alongside India's established GCC markets. I will, of course, come to the Million Minds project in this context a little later. GIFT City has become the biggest real estate catalyst. The strongest trend is the GIFT City ripple effect. North Ahmedabad corridors have seen major appreciation in both residential and commercial demand. Developers are aggressively launching mixed-use developments around the Gandhinagar-Ahmedabad belt. The market sentiments now treat the Ahmedabad-Gandhinagar belt almost as one integrated economic zone. The third development is the Ahmedabad Metro Phase 2, which is materially changing the valuations. The operationalization and expansion of Phase 2 of Gujarat Metro Rail Corporation, Metro Network, have become a major valuation trigger. The fourth is the luxury housing that has become the fastest growing segment in Ahmedabad. One of the biggest shifts in Ahmedabad has been this, and this movement is from value housing city to premium luxury living city. Micro markets leading to this, that is the Vaishnavi Circle, the Ambli, Bhopal Road, Shilaj, SJ Highway and Haldej. Developers like Ganesh are also pushing Ahmedabad's AI smart enabled homes, sustainable architecture, branded residences and township style developments. Record residential launches have been there as the fifth point in Q1 FY 2026 calendar. If you notice, Ahmedabad has recorded a major spike in launches in early 2026. According to Cushman and Wakefield, residential launches touched about 6,745 units in Q1 2026. This was about 29% higher year on year. This indicates developers remain highly bullish on medium-term demand. The sixth one has been the infrastructure-led corridors which are outperforming. The strongest appreciation zones, as I just said, are the SGZ Highway, SP Ring Road Belt and the Gandhinagar Gift Belt. This is due to better road infrastructure, industrial growth, warehousing and logistics demand, data centers, and fintech ecosystem and township developments. The market is now moving beyond traditional core Ahmedabad towards planned growth corridors. The seventh development has been that the commercial real estate has strengthened once again. It is in demand because of the improving BFSI and fintech companies, hospitality demand, co-working absorption, and retail-led mixed-use projects. Motera and SG Highway especially are seeing stronger investment interest. The last in this is that Gujarat is increasingly viewed as a stable, long-term ROI market compared to Mumbai, NCR or Bengaluru. Ahmedabad is still considered relatively affordable. Rental yields around 3.5-5% are attracting investors. Appreciation has been steady rather than speculative. This is attracting NRIs, family offices, SME business owners, long-term investors, and manufacturing-linked wealth from Gujarat. Of course, there are certain emerging challenges of increased construction costs and project delays, but these are either manageable or surmountable. In conclusion, the Gujarat real estate story is now shifting from affordable tier 2 city growth to institutional infrastructure-driven urban expansion. Coming to the financial performance, for Q4 FY26, the company reported revenues of 122 crores, registering a sequential growth of 33%. EBITDA stood at 98 crores with EBITDA margins of about 80.7%, and PAT came in at 61 crores with PAT margins of about 50%. For the full year FY26, revenue stood at 539 crores and PAT at 316 crores. While these numbers are lower than that of FY25, it is important, as I said earlier, to remember that FY26 was an exceptional year. FY26 was an execution and transitional led focused on project advancements, leasing progress, and preparation for the next phase of scaling up. We are pleased to state that looking to the strong cash flows that the company has, the board of directors have recommended a dividend of 15%, that is 1.5 per share. Let me mention that even during this transition phase, our margin profile continues to remain strong and maybe the strongest in the industry. This reflects the inherent strength of our land bank, disciplined capital allocation, and prudent fiscal management. Our balance sheet also continues to be robust. While we have utilized moderate project-level borrowings during the year to support expansion and development activities, our overall gearing remains extremely comfortable and amongst the lowest in the sector. the company continues to maintain strong financial flexibility supported by internal accruals, valuable land reserves, and prudent execution. More importantly, the inherent strength of Ganesh in terms of its standing in the real estate space of Ahmedabad, as well as the large land bank at all the happening places, as mentioned above, ensures that the coming year and the years thereafter will be very exciting, especially with all the projects lined up and being executed by Ganesh Housing. Maybe it's an appropriate time to quote a Sanskrit sloka which best describes this. Manihi luprati padagre kachaha shirase dharyate kraya vikraya velayam kachaha kacho manihi manihi. What this literally means is that a diamond or a gem may lie at one's feet while a glass may be placed on one's head. But when it comes to true valuation, when the true test comes, glass will remain a glass and the value of a diamond or that of a gem will always remain. Correct, if you have to apply this to our situation, a temporary fall in performance or fortunes does not diminish the intrinsic capability and value. Now let me discuss some of the key project updates. As you know, Gujarat and Union Government have been encouraging setting up IT industry in the state. Against this backdrop, our Million Minds Tech City project has achieved an important milestone during the quarter. As many of you are aware, the Honorable Union Home Minister, Sri Amit Shah, inaugurated the first phase of Million Minds Tech City. This is not merely a completion of another commercial building for us. We believe that this marks the beginning of a long-term integrated technology and innovation ecosystem for Ahmedabad. Million Minds Tech City development is over approximately 65 acres, as you know, with a long-term development potential of over 18 million square feet across commercial offices, residential developments, hospitality, retail, and social infrastructure. The phase one, which is about leasable area of about 0.85 million, has been inaugurated and fit-outs are progressing well. We are pleased to state that leasing traction has continued to improve steadily. We are seeing encouraging interest from global capability centers, technology firms, hybrid workspace operators, and innovation-led enterprises. Discussion and leasing progress have advanced meaningfully over the last few months, and we believe that the project would not only be one of Ahmedabad's landmark Grade A commercial development, but also that of India going forward. We also believe the timing of this project is strategically very favorable. Ahmedabad's emergence as a GCC destination is still at an early stage, but the direction of growth is becoming increasingly visible. Large infrastructure developments, improving connectivity to GIFT City, and the broader push towards service sector expansion and creating a strong long-term foundation for technology-led commercial real estate in the region is growing. Almost 60-65% of the leasable area of Million Minds Phase 1 has already been laid out or in the last stages of being finalized. The number of inquiries of this lease spaces after the inauguration on May 17 has jumped multifold, allowing us to believe that the remaining 35-40% of lease spaces should be quickly filled up. On to Malabar Retreat, the project continues to progress steadily and is now approximately 79% complete in all respects. As the project moves closer towards completion, we are witnessing increasing traction and stronger customer engagement, which is a trend in premium residential developments nearing delivery stage. Against an overall project value of about 450 crores, bookings and sales commitments are there nearly about 175 crores, and this has been growing day on day. And the traction continues to improve steadily as the project approaches completion. The 191 Faltej project is in the planning and design approvals stages, which is in a very advanced stage. we should be able to tell you more about it specifically in Q1 FY27. As you know, Ganesh Housing today has one of the largest strategic land reserves in Ahmedabad, with approximately 518 acres of fully paid land reserves across multiple high-growth corridors. Certain new land acquisitions and negotiations are underway and would add to this number in the times to come. We are acquiring significant land parcels in some of the most exciting spots of Ahmedabad. This is in line with our strategy over the years of identifying growth corridors well ahead of the market and building long-term value patiently and prudently. Whether it was SG Highway earlier or the Ahmedabad GIFT Gandhinagar corridor now, we believe that long-term urban expansion of Ahmedabad continues to create meaningful opportunities for well-positioned developers with execution capability and land availability. At the same time, we remain disciplined in a monetization approach. We concentrate and to continue to focus on value creation rather than volume-driven transactions. Our land monetization strategy remains flexible and calibrated depending on markets, opportunities and infrastructure development and the pricing trends. For example, at Godavari Township, till now, only approximately 46 acres have been monetized at healthy realizations averaging around 14.1 crore rupees per acre. And there is huge possibilities lying ahead in this. Another important aspect of our business evolution is the increasing contribution expected from annuity income over the coming years. With Million Minds now nearing operationalization, Ganesh Housing is entering into a new phase where recurring lease rentals will gradually complement development income and land monetization revenues. We believe that this will strengthen earnings visibility and improve the overall quality of cash flows over the medium to long term. Looking ahead to FY27, we believe it is going to be a very important year operationally for the company. We expect commencement of lease rentals of Million Minds, of course, probable completion of Malabar Retreat by the end of this year, and booking of the sales thereof, which is all the project sales, and further progress of our monetization of appropriate land parcels wherever the opportunity arises. Permit me to quote again, because this is the right time to quote, another sloka which says, Gatam na sochami, Krityam na manye, Swaha kala velam na cha chintayami, Aho prahastam mama vartamanam, Bhavishyati api Mahat Vichitram, which means, I do not grieve for what is gone, nor do I obsess over what is already done, that is the past years. I do not look at tomorrow with anxiety or worry. My present is joyful and full of life. And from this point onward, the future is going to be incredibly wonderful, grand and exciting. With that, I would now request the moderator to open the floor for questions and answers. Thank you.
Thank you. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on their touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. Our first question comes from the line of Prit Nagarseth with Wealth Finvisor. Please go ahead.
Yes, sir. Thank you. Thank you for those updates. The thing I wanted to better understand is, do you have any kind of guidance on the top line as well as EBITDA numbers for FY27?
We shall be doing that, Preet, in this results, Q1 results when we announce that. We'll be telling it that time. That will be more clearer then.
So what is the reason why the company has been shy of giving guidances for the last, I would say, 4 quarters running? Every single quarter, I think we get told that the next quarter we will be able to give a guidance. And then when that next quarter comes, that is further delayed by a quarter. So what's happening on the ground, because of which the confidence isn't there to give any kind of guidance?
No, Preet, I would want to correct you slightly on that. And that is, we give guidance for the full year at the beginning of the year, for the next year, that is. And for the for FY26, we have given guidance at the beginning. And we had said that maybe quarter on quarter, whether we'll be able to meet up to the guidelines of FY26 or not, that we had to say for the next quarter. But year to year guidelines, we always are given at the beginning of the year in Q1. And we'll continue to do that in for FY26 also, as sorry, 27 also in Q1.
So is this because the launches, see, every quarter also, if you look back, right, every single quarter question gets asked on when is this project launching, and the answer is hopefully the next quarter. And that, say, Pulsar One, for example, four quarters running, it's been moved to a quarter ahead. Now, what is really happening on the ground, if you can shed some light? Is it possible that we'll see a launch this year? Is it planned for next year? How do you see this, if you can just give some color?
Sure, sure, please. See, the kind of projects which we are thinking about can keep changing as to what can come of which quarter. And it also depends upon the various developments which keep happening in and around that areas. And therefore, and of course, the planning and the approval process itself of various large projects takes time. With this background in mind, what I can definitely say that is that even for one Pradesh, we have looked at various, configurations, various things which have been going on in that and are coming to the best alternative, which is good for the company in the longer run. So therefore, we will be able to exactly tell you, as I told you in my speech, as to very be specific on that in Q1, for sure. And that will be the time when we will be able to tell you exactly what is coming within that project. Leaving that aside, this year, for sure, we are looking at, because of the success which is there in Million Minds Phase 1, we are looking at two projects which will be coming up in, that is one commercial of Phase 2 in this year itself, maybe in Q2, and one residential project is the same one, which has not been done for some time. As you rightly said, we had not done that. That will also be coming up in Q3 of this year. It all develops, doesn't depend upon just launching a project or something. We actually look at what are the developments which are happening in the surrounding, what is best for the company in terms of various things which are happening, whether it is the profitability, whether it is the configuration of the project. So many things have to be taken into impact before we can actually launch. Why that is there is, we have had a bad experience years back when we had launched and when it was not there and it could not be sold for a long period for various reasons. These days, if you notice, any project which has been launched is being launched with a very clear understanding of the time frame within which it will have to be completed and also given away in terms of the possession. So because of certain things, I agree with you that we have delayed certain launches. But it has always been for the good, because ultimately the land at which the area where we are trying to give any project has always been appreciating, only likely to give us better value than what it has been done in the past year.
Right. No, I understand that. See, the challenge is that there are other companies also in the same market, say another listed peer, and these companies continue to launch projects. And they are able to successfully do that, take the market, gain market share, while Ganesh continues to not launch and hence thereby lose market share. Yes, your value on land increases, but for minority shareholders, that really doesn't add any value, because in the near term, at least, these financials don't add up or they don't come. So I think the concern was that fine, FY26 went as a transition year, but hopefully in FY27, we will see some launches.
Yeah, FY27, as I told in my speeches, the brief would definitely comprise of three or four very different kinds of incomes for the company. And that's the reason why I said, let us wait for Q1 to be able to give you the guidance which we are thinking about, because some things will be fructifying by that time. And in terms of the market share in all, see, Ganesh Housing slightly sits on a different platform in terms of the other valuable companies in the market. Worthy competitors, that is, and that is the land bank itself. Now, most of the time, The land bank, being one of the also the verticals, as we keep telling for the last 3 years, has been giving us enough value, revenues, profit, and cash flows to be able to come to the stage where we are in. And that is one thing which we have monetized as and when we felt the opportunity to be right. Projects are another way of monetizing this land bank, and that comes with the, you know, various other things. So that is whether there's a visibility, whether there's enough demand, and the price at which you're trying to launch, and what makes more sense of that or the land monetization at a particular spot in time. So this is the reason why things might have been very different from the other real estate markets. But yes, to conclude on this, as you rightly said, FY 2027, as I mentioned in my speech also, will be a very different year.
Great. Thank you, and all the best.
Thank you.
The next question comes from the line of Dipesh Sancheti with Manya Finance. Please go ahead.
Hi, am I audible?
Yes, yes. Go ahead.
Yeah. You mentioned 60%-65% of your leasable area is either leased or under finalization post-inauguration. Could you quantify the expected rental yield or annual annuity potential from phase one once it is stabilized?
Yes. We had, if you recollect, we had talked about 72 crores being the annual lease revenues from phase one. At this point in time, with the traction which we already have and the various other inquiries which are in the process, we believe that we'll be exceeding that 72 crores, maybe even towards 75 or 77. So I think we will not only achieve, but we'll also be probably exceeding 75 crores of rental income. And if things go well, it could be towards the higher part of 70s rather than being at 72.
This is for the full year, right?
Yeah, we are talking about full year. Yes. FY 2027, you might have a partial year only, but from 2028 onward, it will be a full year. Yes.
Great. Okay. Ahmedabad is transitioning from affordable housing market or to a more institutional and infrastructure-led real estate. How do you see Ganesh's positions evolving related to the national developer entering Gujarat?
No, we have been also, if you see, the Exotica project which we completed and the Malabar retreat which we are doing are all on the premium side. So we are also looking at premium housing projects only. Even the one which is going to come up in the 65 acres Million Minds Place, which is the non-processing, which I said phase, the first residential will be launched this year, also will be in a similar spot because that's what will actually give us the value. So we do believe that we have been in more or less always in that range. We've never been affordable housing that way, you know. So we have we are in the mid segment, and now we have moved to the premium segment.
And could you discuss the expected CapEx intensity for the upcoming phases of Million Minds and 1-91? And how do you intend to fund these projects? Is it through internal approvals, construction finance, strategic partnerships, or a preferential?
So, 191 Thalpes has a sale value of 2,100, and the cost of about total including land cost is about 1,500. And most of the land is already paid for, so that only the construction cost is going to be incurred thereon. And that's the reason why we'll have enough money from our internal accruals itself to develop that project. Even the housing project which we are talking about in phase one of in residential in Million Minds will that of course the cost and all that will be coming when we actually complete the plan and which when we launch it. So that may be about two quarters away from now, and therefore we'll be able to tell you exact amounts therein. But what we have done is that we have a very good combination of our internal accruals and the sales from completed projects, which give us enough money to do this project construction on our own, like what we have done, Million Minds. That entire thing has been done from our internal accruals. We are not shy of borrowing the small amounts, as I always have mentioned in all our earlier addresses, that with a very good, decent leverage, we are not shy of taking it for the right purposes and for expansion one. So you might see some debt in the current year coupled with our internal accruals to fund all these projects.
Right. And when you say FY27 is going to be a great year for the company, do you expect the sales to go similar towards FY24,
FY25? Rather than giving a number, let me tell you what can happen. There is this lease income, of course. Malabar Retreat is at the stage of which it is, which is right now. It could be completely handed over and completed by FY27. That's what is targeted at this point in time. If that happens, that's going to be a big value for all project sales itself. Whatever number of 450 crores is the sales value, right? So that is going to be one big number of just the project. And of course, we have very good traction on the land side, which has been one of our very, very major verticals. That also is likely to be coming up in this year itself, and there will be income from that. So rather than give a number, which of course I'm going to give a guidance, as I told, in Q1 FY27, that is a month or two from now, I would say that these three sources of income are going to be leading towards the revenues that we are projecting, which we definitely believe to be better than what we have just registered.
Right. And from the when you mentioned that 450 crores is a GDV, how much of it has been recognized in these in the last year? I mean, in FY26?
No, we because it's only cost, only after completion can be recognized. We haven't recognized anything right now. It's all on advances which we see to be there in work in progress, or rather giving the stock.
Great. All the very best. Thank you.
Thank you.
The next question comes from the line of Majed Ahmed from Pinpoint X Capital. Please go ahead.
Am I audible, sir?
Yes, yes.
Yes.
Yes, sir. Sir, at Godavari Township, only 46 acres have been monetized so far at 14.1 crore rupees per acre. Given the infrastructure development underway in the Ahmedabad GIFT City corridor, what is the management's view on the embedded value potential of the remaining land parcel?
See, the remaining land parcel would be there to the tune of almost 400 acres or so, right, Neeraj?
411.
411? 11 acres. And 411 acres, given all that which is happening in that area, purely on a value of land itself at the prices at which we have sold, can only be increasing beyond that average price of 14 acres, 14 crores per acre. So the potential by itself of Godavari is extremely high. We have been monetizing that as and when we get a very good traction on and a good deal. That kind of a deal should be continuing in the year, in this year also. So other than that, of course, if things go, and because you know the entire development of the sports conclave and all, that whole thing is happening in that side only. And therefore, if it happens that the request or demand for the other kind of housing and other things are increasing in that area, then rather than just the land part, we will actually be doing development of projects also, which will be only increasing the value of that land apart from the value of land itself. So I think that's a very good potential we have as a huge land bank, and we have seen good traction the years through gone by, and we continue to believe that it will happen in this year and the next year also.
Okay, sir. Got it, sir. And sir, for Malabar Retreat, how much of them have been recognized in the income statement?
No, Retreat cannot be recognized till the time the entire completion happens. We believe that FY27, the completion will happen and the entire thing would be recognized. Because accounting standards don't allow us to do a completion method. It's only after the completion it happens. So nothing has been recognized.
Okay, sir. Got it, sir. And sir, about in regards to Million Minds Tech Park, so when are we expecting the lease rental to come in, sir? And how much are we expecting this for this year?
The lease rental should be starting from Q3, I think, of this year. That is October onwards. Because the project is already complete. The BU is just around the corner. And of course, the building permission, construction completion permission has already been received. Building completion, that is, from the corporation. So BU is a formality on their own. After that, the fit-outs are going on. So I do believe that the rentals will start up from Q3 for sure, if not end of Q2 itself. But that will be partial for this year. And I think the full year's potential of 75 crores will be what we see from 1st April 2027 onwards.
Okay. Sir, any plans to spin this off into a separate REIT model, REIT structure kind of a thing? Do you have any plans to make the annuity model into that?
See, that's something which is always financially to be evaluated at an appropriate time. So the moment these 100% leases are done, and also there is a year or two which goes by, I'm sure that such kind of a premium building, which is, I mentioned, one of the top buildings in Ahmedabad, the top building in Ahmedabad, and one of the few in India, we are sure that with full lease rentals kicking in, there will be plentiful opportunities of trying to monetize that. So you may next 2 years can be just monetizing the entire phase one. We never know. But yes, we are not thought about it at this point in time because we are concentrating on completion of complete lease. But yes, that can always be there on the cards.
Got it, sir. And sir, the presentation mentions that the expected free cash flow generation of rupees 9,950 crores from planned projects, including capitalized value of SEZ assets. So could you help us understand the assumption behind this estimate and the expected timeline?
See, all this calculation has been done on the current prevailing rate, both on the SEZ future development in terms of the commercial as well as the residential part, as well as the potential development of the township from the current prevailing rate. And also, we have considered the one Shalpur project also with the expected free cash flow from that project. So all these numbers which are coming out in terms of 9,950 are on a conservative basis. Though with the progress of the time, the actual free cash flow will be increasing given the consideration of the increase in the prices every year on year.
Yes. Got it, sir. Because as per your assumption, I was looking that the number, the realization is coming around 5,300 rupees per sq ft. So that's what I was thinking, very conservative.
That's what I'm saying. We have considered as a prevailing rate and on a conservative basis. So that means that at least we will reach to this level in future.
Okay, sir. Got it, sir. So just want to understand, how did we compute the free cash flow margins? What are the assumptions? If you can give some color, that would help.
Largely, free cash flow are the Malarkey where we have considered all the invested part of the land as a sunk cost. So that the monetization of that part also will come from the revenue side, as well as whatever the margin you will be making from the over the construction cost. Your free cash flow will be higher than your profit.
Yes, sir. Yes, you're right. Sir, finally, just want to know about our Tishman's Fair partnership. How are we looking to, how is it going currently, sir? And any future development with them?
That was completed for phase one. That was, we had only taken them for phase one. And we'll look at it in terms of whether we need them for phase two or not. That point has not yet been evaluated. But yes, the partnership in phase one went well, and we'll see how phase two is launched.
Got it, sir. And thank you and all the very best, sir. Thank you.
Thank you.
The next question comes from the line of Satyam Badera with Avinash Mentor Research. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thank you for the opportunity. I have a couple of questions. As you mentioned, new land acquisitions are underway. Could you please elaborate on the strategy here? Are these acquisitions around the existing clusters, or are you entering entirely into new micro markets?
No, we are not. We are not entering into all new micro market. That much I can say. But I can add that it's not exactly adjacent to where we are having also. Those possibilities are never ruled out. But at this point in time, the major acquisitions are happening in the most happening places of Ahmedabad. All the places where I had mentioned in the speech also where good development is happening in terms of the infrastructure growth and the commercial as well as residential. These are the areas where we are acquiring good land parcels in the process at this point in time. I will not be able to disclose the exact area because of obviously, you know, it's very sensitive in terms of what's the game plan of acquisition of land is always sensitive matter. But I can only tell you that these are going to be at a good high growth markets. That's what our plus point has always been, identifying and buying at a price which can always be multiple, giving us multiple growth in the years to come, which is what has led to where we are today. And we'll continue to work on those strengths of ours. So in short, at very, very attractive prices, at very good locations, and all of them are in the current, you know, happening places, not in micro markets.
Okay, thank you. My another question is, on a million mine phase one, can you help us to understand the nature of the current leasing pipeline, specifically what percentage is under signed LOI versus advanced negotiation, and what kind of tenant profile mix are you seeing between GCCs for working operators and technology firms?
Well, the total, what I mentioned was around 60-65% is already leased and or just in the final closes, you know, of a lease being signed. But as you know, the lease agreement will be done once the BU is received, but all these are LOIs at this point in time. We are seeing traction for the balance also. As I said, a lot of, you know, inquiries happen after the building was inaugurated. And if you see that, it is a very good structure. It's standing there, very attractive. So a lot of inquiries have started off in that. We do believe that the balance also will be quickly closed. This is a good combination. It's not. It's a co-working spaces, the GCCs, the IT, IT, ES. All these kind of people are there who are either present or likely to be present in the future in terms of the balance lease. So we would see a good all-round you know, development in terms of the occupants. I think the phase two will be very different again. That can be the large GCCs and all that. But at this point in time, we have a very good mix of technology companies, the co-working spaces, and innovation-led enterprises and such kind of people, which includes, of course, technology firms also.
Okay, thank you. One more question is, Malabar Retreat is now 79% complete with bookings of rupees 175 crore against the project value of 450 crore. As the project is near completion, do you expect any meaningful acceleration in pricing and bookings?
Oh, yes. Every day there is some movement or the other. And once the, you know, the entire structure is ready, and you can see that, you know, there's a lot of blasting and those kind of work, the finishing work which is going on. The more the visibility of that happens, the attraction increases. So we do believe, as we had told earlier also, that by FY27 end, we should be able to complete the entire, not only, you know, booking of that, but also handing over.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
The next question comes from the line of Peter Vora with Monarch AIF. Please go ahead.
Yes, hi sir. I had a couple of questions. Could you help me with the land purchased in Q4 in acres?
We have roughly acquired around 7 acres of land during this quarter, last quarter.
Okay, all right. So secondly, I see in our balance sheet our loans have gone up, you know, compared to FY25. Could you help me understand what are the loans exactly taken for?
In the last quarter, the last week of FY26, that is in March, we had we have taken about 150 crores loan from based on our leases which were there, LOIs which were signed. So it was more of a LRD kind of a facility that we took on our million mines. This was for various opportunities which are coming up, both from our construction and as well as various business opportunities in terms of acquisition, which is likely to be in place. So till now, we completed everything with our accruals, and we thought that when an opportunity comes in, we should not be shy of borrowing. So we took a small 150 crore LRD-based loan. And that's the reason why the borrowing went up in the balance sheet.
No, sir, I also see that short-term borrowings went to 149 crores. So what is that pertaining to?
These are largely the loans from the group companies and entities.
So what new entities?
Group entities. These are largely
group,
from a group company solely.
Unsecured borrowing.
Yes, classified under the short-term.
Yes. All right. Is it now that we are, going to see more residential unit projects coming up in FY27, can we please expect a separate pre-sales figure in our presentation, the press release? And along with it, if you could also just please add the, LRD percentages now that we are, open to taking up more debt. So that will be very helpful for us to analyze.
Sure, Hazel. We'll keep that in mind for sure. I think that would be more appropriate in the Q3 onwards. But yes, we take your suggestion. We'll keep that in mind. Thank you.
Sure, sir. Thank you. And sir, just one last question. In our Godavi land parcel, are we open to also considering, JDAs with other developers? Since, we have access to massive land, that would also help us with developing it.
Yes, I mean, the opportunities can never be ruled out, but you have said such kind of opportunities can come in. Till now, we have never done that, frankly, in terms of joint developments and all. But when it comes up with a very good project or some real good brand comes up, we cannot rule it out in the future. Because opportunity in business should always be tapped. That's all we believe. And never say no to anything for that matter. But at this point in time, there is no such proposal.
Okay, sir. Understood. All right. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
The next question comes from the line of Sandeep Agarwal with Samarth Singh Investment Advisory. Please go ahead.
Good afternoon, management. Thank you for taking my question. Firstly, congratulations on the operational progress across Million Mines and Malabar Retreat.
Thank you.
Okay, so my first question is what with Million Mines, nearly operational, what could be the company's preferred capital allocation priority over for 2 to 3 years, next project launches or land acquisition or scaling commercial assets?
Well, it would have to be a very good mix and blend of both. While on one hand, we have to monetize the land with good development, especially in that Million Mines area, of course. And also, on the other hand, we might also self-monetize the land as and when an opportunity comes in. But land being the raw material, which is always the case for any real estate development, the acquisition of new parcels of land will always be parallelly, always of top importance. Because raw material has to be always there in the pipeline. So we do believe that the way the plans are there for the next 3-4 years. Million Mines phase 2 and 3 of commercial, residential 1 and 2. These are the projects, 4 more projects which are definitely likely, which we already have put earlier also. But we will definitely launch those. On the other side, whenever a land opportunity comes in terms of Godavi or any other place, we will monetize that land. That will be the projects, right? The projects plus land together. That is the revenue side. On the acquisition side, as I said, we have already in the process of acquiring more land, and we'll continue to do that in the future also.
Okay. So, basically, you are saying that it will be a good blend and the land acquisition will be of the top priority.
Land acquisition and project execution, both will be of the top priority. Whichever time, it will be only a matter of time. Today, there may be an opportunity of both coming up together, or today it will be only land acquisition, tomorrow there will be only a project execution, which can be a top priority. Both these things are equally to be weighed.
Okay, sir, thank you. I have one more question. What kind of pre-launch interest you have witnessed for Heritage 9-1, and how does it compare with the management's initial expectation?
See, pre-launches are, so this is a project which is being done by known people that is and a very good brand, and who has got, you know, very good track record of execution and delivery. Therefore, in terms of booking these soft bookings, you know, a lot of people will always be interested in trying to say come into such an area which is there as well as such a building. Having said that, these soft launches, you know, can be only told when the project is launched and when it is converted after the era. Only then we can actually be able to tell anything on the quantum and all. So we'll have to wait for that.
Okay. Thank you, sir, and all the best.
Thank you.
The next question comes from the line of Arvind Mahadevan with Equi Venture Capital Advisors. Please go ahead.
Hi, good evening, and thank you for the opportunity. My question number one would be, in Q3 itself, the LOI received with regards to Million Minds were close to 60%. And in Q4, we are just at 66%. So can you give me an idea about why the growth rate has been so slow, or the express of interest has been so weak with regards to Million Minds itself?
Yes, the earlier period, you know, there were only just inquiries, and now when we are talking about, they are either already LOI signed or in the last stages. So therefore, the quality of that is better. Leave alone the percentage, the quality of the certainty is much better. That's one. And second, yes, the percentages haven't increased dramatically, only because of, one, the completion had to be seen, and the second, more often than not, very large ones who are there, maybe sitting on the fence at this point in time, would come in only when the BU is there, which is, that is building the use certificate in particular, though every other details, permissions are there. So that is happening even as we speak, maybe today or tomorrow. That's as close as this. I think after that, this will jump. Especially after the inauguration, we saw the kind of inquiries which have jumped, the kind of footfalls and inquiries. We believe that people really want to see that everything is in place so that they can move in tomorrow, that kind of an opportunity. That's when it will really increase tremendously.
Yeah, fair enough. Understood. Apart from that, since Malabar would get completed, there's a good possibility of Malabar Retreat getting completed this year. So there would be a significant jump in revenue for current year, for FY 2026 first year. But, sir, what about the future projects? For example, phase 2 of Million Minds, when can we expect it to be commissioned, by quarter 2 or quarter 3?
Of commercial, you're talking about, right? Phase 2?
Yes, sir. Yeah.
Yeah. Phase 2 is quarter 2. Phase 2 of Million Minds is quarter 2. The residential will be in quarter 3. Actually, the phase 2 can be, even preponed earlier. If you think that everything is placed, we might do it even earlier.
And we can expect it to be completed within 2 years' time period?
That has been the track record. So
that will take 3 years.
Yes, and the larger construction, that will take 3 years.
That's it from my end, sir. Thank you. Thank you for the opportunity and all the best.
Thank you very much.
The next question comes from the line of Janak Shah from the Wealth Company. Please go ahead.
Good evening, everyone.
Good evening.
Like, we are the biggest in terms of land bank in and around Ahmedabad, and we also seen very good progress in terms of Million Minds. My question was that, like, what we have been doing is, in the last 2-3 years, most of the profits, so it was in 24 was 461 crores, then 25, 598 crore, and this year 316 crore, mostly it has been from the sale of land, right? And generally the markets don't reward that. In the sense, the markets always look at the operational, pure operational performances. So because of the delay of Thaltejwan and Smile City, I think maybe, can you give more clarity as to, like, you? I already heard that you have said that in quarter one, you'll be giving guidance regarding that. But, like, Smile City also, like, it has been into the presentation since the last 18 months. But there is no progress on any sort of launch in Smile City. Our nearest competitor is also Ahmedabad-based, and they have no land bank, but they have seen more than 4 launches in the last 18 months. So could you please explain on this?
Sure. One thing which we have always explained all these years, and we'll continue to do that now, is that one of the very important verticals of Ganesh Housing, apart from the various projects which we have launched, executed, and handed over, whether it was Malabar Retreat, Malabar Exotica, and all, this is also happening to be one of our very important verticals. And our historic prices of land and acquisition actually gives us the top opportunity to monetize that as and when required, because land always is in short supply at the places where it is required, especially. And that is the strength of Ganesh. That is, we have been able to monetize exactly at the appropriate time because we had bought it low. That will always continue in terms of being one of the verticals, apart from the projects which we have launched or we are under construction or which we will be launched. What I can say, the Smile City one, that is where we have already, it's not the project. Project need not necessarily be only a construction project. In Smile City, that is that Godavi land, we have sold around 46 acres, what I mentioned earlier. And that has been, you might categorize as land or you can categorize it as a project. Because land by itself has been done as a land sale, as a part of the total Godavi project. It's such a big land parcel that not everything can be developed, and that too, not everything can be developed in a few years. So, as and when the opportunity comes up in that, we will do a development, which may be in this year or next year, but definitely if an opportunity comes, we will sell the land also. So that you can categorize as a land sale, or whether you can categorize as a project sale. I would put it as a project sale because it's a Smile City project, which is comprising of land plus projects. So that is 65 acres, and the last four quarters have been comprising of that. Earlier to that, we agree, that was a pure land sale, which is one of the verticals as I just mentioned. So it's a combination, I would call, which is leading to the total growth of Ganesh Housing. Maybe, yes, the kind of what you're saying, people recognition and reward is could be slow in coming. But what is important is that for a real estate company is that it has got a very low acquisition cost for a large land bank, which is easily monetizable, one. Second, it has got a very good traction of execution for the future. And third, very importantly, has the cash available at an appropriate time to continue to develop new projects or buy new land and then balance out with a zero debt. You know, that kind of a possibility only happens when you have this inherent strength of the land bank to start with and then the projects to get along with. So it's a good combination of both, I would say. And I'm sure the markets will be able to recognize that as we go along.
Thank you, sir. But the 31 clarity would surely come in the quarter one results, right?
Yeah, sure. Yes. Definitely.
Great. And my last question is that, our dividend payout, though we declared a 15% dividend, in 2024, it was a 110% dividend, which came down to 50%. And it is right now 15%. Now, if we see, we are all three company, we have just taken debt for namesake, then why can't the dividend be maintained also, looking at the promising prospects of Ganesh Housing in the long term?
Yeah, see, this time I think the board discussed and then came at the 15 because good opportunities are coming up for where the cash can be utilized for the growth. So the growth of the company has been kept uppermost in mind while giving a lower dividend so that the cash can be conserved. And especially when such a lot of things are happening in Ahmedabad. So that is the only consideration. But I'm sure if the cash position and the projects and all go as planned for the next year, the dividend number, I'm sure the board will always feel more enthused to go back to their earlier limits.
That's right, sir. And sir, a small other question. See, looking at artificial intelligence and how it is going on, in Million Mind, we are going to do many, many such projects, like maybe seven. Then would some also be open for educational purposes and some other purposes, or only it will be for lease?
Educational purposes, we haven't thought about at this point in time in terms of the planning. It is all to talk
so
about...
So I mean university.
Yes. No, in the future, today whatever we have, it would not be there for the next phases for sure. We have thought about all of them being as a commercial development only. And we do believe, looking at the GCC capability which is coming up, which I think has received a lot of traction, that could be another center for that in the years to come. So it could be all commercial development.
Okay, sir. Thank you for your answers.
Thank you.
Ladies and gentlemen, due to time constraints, we would take that as the last question for today. I would now like to hand the conference over to the management for their closing remarks.
Thank you all for joining the call and asking important, relevant and pointing questions. I hope I have been able to satisfy your answers, all the questions, but they're always open to be asked through GIA or in others also. I can surely say that we believe that the foundations being built today will position our company well, not just for the next 1 year, 1 or 2 years, but for the next decade. It could be demand that demand patterns are changing. And this in this changing landscape, we believe that housing, Ganesh Housing is uniquely positioned. So there may be a few delays, but the kind of a position that we are in with a near debt, zero debt, large strategic bank, strong execution capabilities, and of course an increasingly diversified development platform, we do believe that these things will be all seen in the coming times. So as always, we remain committed to disciplined growth, transparent governance, prudent capital allocation, and sustainable long-term value creation for the stakeholders. Goodbye and see you soon. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. Ladies and gentlemen, on behalf of Go India Advisors, that concludes this conference call. Thank you for joining us and you may now disconnect your lines.